And from the scriptures, and I direct your attention to Job chapter 26. Job chapter 26, where Job is given reply to one who has come to counsel him, to exhort him. And at chapter 26, Job begins a long meditation of response to his questioners. Job 26 reads this way, "Then Job answered and said, 'How have you helped him who has no power? How you have saved the arm that has no strength? How you have counseled him who has no wisdom and plentifully declared sound knowledge? With whose help have you uttered words, and whose breath has come out from you? The dead tremble under the waters and their inhabitants. Sheol is naked before God, and Abaddon has no covering. He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not split open under them. He covers the face of the full moon and spreads over it his cloud. He has inscribed a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. By his power he stilled the sea. By his understanding he shattered Rahab. By his wind the heavens were made fair. His hands pierced the fleeing serpent. Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways. And how small a whisper do we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?'" Let's seek the Lord's continued blessing in prayer. Father, Thou who art in heaven above, present with us here by Thy Spirit and Word, once again we have gathered to bow in Thy presence. We thank Thee, Lord, for that great privilege. May Thy Word be our rule and Thy Spirit our teacher. Lord, as we consider the small whisper and the powerful thunder of God, and grant, Lord, that Thy greater glory would be our supreme concern, that our hearts would be stilled to serve the Almighty God, He who is mighty over all. Lord, we live in a world that gives little regard to the call of God, the person of God, the works of God. Grant that we be not amongst those who have become deaf to the very voice of God, but that we would be attentive in our spiritual pilgrimage before Thee for Thy glory's sake. And in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'd like to read with you once again the words of verse 14, where Job has laid forth the evidences of God's power before all in creation, where he says, "Behold," that means look, "behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" May the Lord so bless the public reading of his word and also the proclamation that we seek to submit ourselves to. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, over the course of the almost year and a half that has gone behind us, I am sure most of us have mulled over many thoughts as to the unfolding of what we call, or what some call, the pandemic. Not only from a health perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective, and to realize the two are very closely tied together. There have been words, words, and more words. Then we also think of the various government bills recently passed or about to be passed into law in our parliament. And again, I'm sure our hearts have been pulled in a variety of directions, perhaps even tossed to and fro. These have been awkward times for us all and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly in all of this, we may speak of testing and trial. I believe that we can all confess that there has been sin intermingled and intertwined in our thoughts and words. With respect to our present situation, we have observed the responses of society at large, and perhaps even our own responses have been varied. We may have rightly or wrongly questioned those who lead in health measures, and perhaps with a measure of disrespect. We have observed the responses of neighboring churches close by and across the land, and again, have our thoughts, perhaps words, as to the appropriateness or the inappropriateness of these actions. We have questioned our leaders and perhaps accompanied with a measure of disregard. And many of us have voiced our thoughts, and perhaps those thoughts have not been as charitable as they ought. Many words, words and more words. In all of this, we have learned again how weak is man. Now this evening, we want to remind ourselves by means of our gospel lesson from Job 26, that the main and plain purpose of all of history is under the control of the sovereign hand of God, and that the Lord's providential purposes, even as we've confessed from the Westminster Larger Catechism, will be achieved. These troubling times do not come to us by chance. And we want to remind each other once again to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we want to hear God's word direct us in such a way where we together, in awe, declare, "My God, how wonderful thou art. Thy majesty, how bright. How beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light." With the echo of what I call your sister confession, the Belgic confession, opening words of Article 13, let us not lose sight of what believers hold dear. When believers confess that we believe that the same good God, after he had created all things, did not forsake them or give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. And we praise God that he does rule according to his holy will. The alternative would be chaos. The alternative would leave us in the dark, and life would become meaningless, as it is for so many in our society at large. We reflect on the responses of many of our fellow citizens. We saw the fear. We saw those who were discouraged, those who were despondent. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a message. It's a message given to us in the Bible. It's a message of God's small whisper and his powerful thunder. It's a message that we need to hear, and it's a message those who are yet blind must be brought to see. Now, the storyline of Job is familiar to most of us, if not all. And without going into too much background detail, we know he who had almost everything lost almost everything, humanly speaking. We are told of his agonizing pain and sorrow. Told of a wife who tells him to curse God and die. Three friends that come and sit with him in silence for 7 days. 7 days. Very appropriate. And then, breaking their silence, counsel him with words and more words and more words. And Job says, "My friends, you are comfortless comforters. Those who sought to stand alongside Job contended that there must have been something in Job's life that brought about his immense and intense suffering." Now, the Bible is not silent about suffering. You know that. In the book of the Psalms, there are many laments raised to the Lord concerning human suffering. And the Psalms teach us how to suffer well because they speak of the reality of suffering. Those who suffered wrote them. Just to take one example from Psalm 69 in verse 4, where David, foreshadowing the suffering of Christ, cries out, "More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal must I now restore." In the book of James, written to those persecuted because of the faith, we read in chapter 1, immediately after the greeting, "Count it all joy." What? "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," standing fast. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, Job was not at the point of joy in his life at this point. His distress brought him to the point of desperation. But as we go on reading in James, James 5 and verse 11, James writes, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast," standing fast. "You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." In all his suffering, Job had to learn that one may never know the specific reason for his suffering or her suffering, but nonetheless must trust the sovereign God. Now, coming to look more closely at our scripture lesson, we want to say with one commentator, chapter 26 is one of the grandest recitals. Think of a recital. One of the grandest recitals in the whole book. It is excelled only by the Lord's speeches, as is fitting. It sounds well in Job's mouth and ends the dialogue that had gone on for a long time already now, like the first movement of a symphony, with great crashing chords. Great crashing chords. Job is responding to Bildad. But his response applies equally well to Eliphaz and Zophar. In an effort to bring Job, so to speak, to his senses, to repentance, Bildad in chapter 25 had impressed upon Job the greatness of God with whom Job had been arguing. And Bildad tells Job, correctly so, that God's kingdom is all-powerful. Tells Job that the armies of angelic beings are more than can be counted. You'll see that in the first three verses of the previous chapter. What is more, God is so pure beyond human understanding, so that even the mighty universe is unclean in his sight. And we might say to Bildad, yeah, you have that right, but now how does this apply to the situation, to the setting at hand? Bildad concludes by saying, man is less than a maggot and a worm. And of ourselves, left to ourselves, again, another truth. All along, Job has been accused of hiding some secret sin. Job's counselors had the impression that Job was claiming to be sinless. But in truth, Job never complained to be sinless, only that he is not the terrible sinner that they, on the basis of his sufferings, accuse him of being. Job suffered so much, so much. He must have done something so, so very, very bad. And there are many words upon words made Job tired. And Job responds with questions, and that question, the so-called wisdom of those who have called him out. He lays before them a number of assertions. How have you helped those who need help? Have you helped those who are weak? Have you really given wisdom to those who lack understanding? Have you given sound advice? And who have you given this wisdom to? Very short order, Job is penetrating and unmasking false allegations. Indeed, his three counselors have not been very helpful at all. All of this, as an aside, is a little reminder of the dangers of foolish speech. It is sobering to think that even our best-intentioned words can hurt the people God loves. Just like Job's friends, we can sound very spiritual and give advice that superficially is plausible and theologically correct, only to deeply hurt a brother or sister in the Lord. The Word of God always wants us to be careful with the use of our tongue. Now, Job, who had been humbled and broken to the dust at verse 5, shows that he too is able to describe, to discern, to declare God's greatness. In a very short order, a few verses, he describes the power of God over his vast creation, and in fact, echoing the statements of Bildad. And while God reveals himself most clearly in his word, we also confess he reveals himself in creation. Creation speaks. Better said, God speaks through creation. And as he speaks also to us, we only have to open our eyes, have listening ears to the wonder-working power of his glorious handiwork. And we, you and I, we must listen. As Job speaks, we heard him say, No region in this entire universe that is outside God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty extends even over the mysterious, gloomy world of the dead, verses 5 and 6. The heavens also are in his power. He controls the stars, the moon, and the clouds. He turns darkness into light. When we wake up tomorrow morning, darkness will be gone. The light will be at hand. Darkness into light. When the sun rises above the horizon each morning. The verses 7 through 10. And on one hand, he sends the earthquakes and storms. On the other hand, he calms the raging sea and gives fair weather. Verses 11 through 13. And then Job says these marvelous words of our text, if these are the mere edges, the fringes, so to speak, the outskirts of the whispers of God, how great must be his thunder. Think of the clouds. This morning when we gathered together, heavy, heavy in the sky. And some of us had to make a mad dash into the sanctuary or into the church building so that we wouldn't get soaked. Boys and girls, I have a question for you that I want you to ask your parents when you get home or on the way home. Are you ready? I want you to ask your parents, because they know a thing or two, how is it that those clouds, that heavy cloud that was in the sky this morning, how is it that the cloud itself didn't fall down? What kept that cloud up there? What keeps them high above? It's a nice little study. There are some days when they, even tonight, it's not too bad, they look light and fluffy. But even the light and fluffy clouds are quite heavy. And I'm told by researchers, and I don't know how they did this, but they have calculated that the average cumulus cloud, that nice and white, fluffy kind, not the dark one we saw this morning, but the one you see on a nice sunny day, that cloud weighs an incredible 500,000 kilograms. For those in our old system, 1.1 million pounds. Just think of a cloud. The clouds whisper. They whisper God's power if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And if we make a little study of the Earth's rotation, the tilt of the Earth's axis, and how important that is that these realities continue to be reality, the distance from the sun to the earth, and why that is so important. Some of you boys and girls learned that in your homeschooling or in your day schooling. The relationship between the moon and the earth, how important it is the moon is where the moon is. The stars that hang in the sky, all those stars named by God, the Bible tells us. If we study how fearfully and wonderfully a little one skillfully formed in the mother's womb, if we go a little deeper to study something about enzymes and chromosomes and DNA, our minds are filled beyond understanding. If we study the migration of butterflies, they travel the thousands of miles to go from where they came or to come to where they go. The work of honeybees, not only in making honey, but in that most necessary work of pollination. Then we've only come, Job says, to the outskirts of God's way. We might say the edges of his garments. These are but the whispers. Then the people of God are happy to declare with Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. Beloved congregation, if we are to understand our place in the world, we are to make sense of our present situation in light of what some people call cancel culture, in the light of Christians being marginalized. If we are to make any sense of it all, we must not lose sight. Of the wonder working power of God's creative and powerful hand. With the psalmist, let us never get tired of declaring, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who alone works wonders, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may his whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. From Psalm 72. And from Psalm 104, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. There is so much that is beyond us. And when we confess God's ways, His providences in our lives, in our nation, even those, what is at times called the frowning providences, we need to learn to say again, and again this comes from the Belgic Confession, we do not wish to inquire with undue curiosity into what God does that surpasses human understanding and is beyond our ability to comprehend. As someone else has said, even when God is not speaking verbally, the study of His creation speaks with an eloquence that compels us to stand in silent wonder before the Creator. Elements of basic matter that behave in ways unimagined, and clumps of galaxies so vast in number and the expanse that even broad human categories like light years. Well, what is a light year? A light years. That kind of category becomes almost meaningless because it is so far beyond us. We might say that smallness gets ever smaller and bigness gets ever bigger. And the attempt to bring it all into the scope of human understanding has done what it always has done. We either see God, the hand of God, the work of God, and worship Him in great awe and humility, or we suppress the truth, Romans 1 and 18. And when we suppress the truth, we wander in self-imposed blindness. What we know of God, He who is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, He who changes not, He who is the fountain and the storehouse of all that is good, what we know of God and His love, His loving kindness, what we know of God is nothing in comparison with what is in God and what God is. We've only made a beginning in faith. After all the discoveries which God has made to us and all the inquiries we have made after God, still, in a certain sense, we're thankful for the light of His Word, and His light we see light. But still, in a certain sense, we are much in the dark concerning Him and must conclude, lo, these are but parts of His way. Something we hear of Him by His works and by His Word, but alas, how little a portion is heard of Him, heard by us, and heard from us. God is great, greatly to be praised. God remains unfathomably transcendent, far beyond us. He dwells in the deep darkness, Psalm 97 and verse 2. In utterly a different category from everything else in creation, Isaiah 40 and verse 18. And before Him, the greatest parts of creation are dust and less than nothing, Isaiah 40 and verse 15. Not even Moses, the meek Moses, the mediator par excellence in the Old Testament, could have survived the sight of God's face, Exodus 33 and verse 20. But then again, there is Elijah who received the message of the Lord in a still, small voice. And so as we speak of all the many, many whispers, the whispers that just begin to tell us something of the glory of God, the outskirts of His ways, may we also say in faith that they powerfully thunder in our hearts. And I ask you, beloved, I ask myself, what is it that brings thunder to your hearts? And what do the small whispers do to inform your faith and mine? And how deeply are we thinking about the God who sent Pharaoh 10 plagues and now can send us 9 more? But we must say more. For God can be known through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." Jesus is the perfect image bearer. He is the perfect imitator, even as we are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's simply amazing. There's a thunder right there. And if one can see the Lord's hand in creation cannot be fully fathomed by man, what about His work in the hearts of His people, bringing them to regeneration and faith? And how great a work of God in sending His only begotten Son in the world, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Redeemer who stills the storm by simply telling it to be quiet. Peace, be still. He who heals the blind, who raises the dead, who feeds thousands upon thousands and continues to feed us by His word. We think of the one bent over with the issue of blood, many years troubled by affliction, who only wanted to touch the hem, the bottom fringe of the garment of the Lord. And then we say, we ask, does then the Lord not thunder in His whispers? And is not the gospel of amazing grace on the one hand so beyond us, and yet on the other hand, by grace alone, through faith alone, to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as He speaks to us in His word and His world. What a power beyond comprehension. Or is it better yet to speak of the thunder of God that spoke in the silence of the three dark hours as Jesus hung on the cross. The thunder of God when Jesus declared, "It is finished." The thunder of God when the all-powerful Christ shall return with the shout of the archangel on the great day of days. Beloved, do you think about those thunders to come? They're astounding, amazing. Do you think of the whispers that God gives us every day? From the book of Romans, even as we sung of this morning, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable, hard to describe, hard to understand, His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? From Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Indeed, we have a lot to think about, so much. So much beyond our capacity to understand. There are the mysteries Let us be content to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his pupils, to be his students in the school of lifelong learning. And let us do so with ears open to his small whispers and hearts open to the powerful thunders, with the desire of God's glory filling our hearts and lives. Amen. I'm going to respond with, O worship the King, from Psalm 104. O worship the King.